everyone, welcome back to the Challenged. What is this show called? Ride or Dies? Yes, the Challenged Ride or Dies for episode 2. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Alessia Ali. How are you?
Brian, I feel you just played your hand about how you're doing.
Yeah, not great. I'm playing hurt today. I got bad throat. I'm coughing. I would be on the IL if this is like the skill set I needed to like be like a professional sports athlete, but I'm battling through it a lot more than Emmy would do. So I'm giving myself kudos for that.
You could have taken a week off and been brought back in just in time for the next challenge, but no, you power through. So thank you for being here despite your illness. I'm only laughing because candidly we discussed before we've had some memories of you showing up sick. This doesn't make sense. We're an inside joke. Okay. We're allowed to have one.
We've had, 9 years of doing this. Some of us are going to be sick and a couple of fun memories are going to pop along the way while we're doing these.
Now I feel like I have to say, when we used to interview people, I had to show up, like you were like within an inch of your life. Mm-hmm. And we had an interview scheduled with somebody on the cast of Are You the One, Tyler, T Boogie, never forget. And unless he's been canceled, then feel free to forget. Like, I don't know. But right. I didn't know how to record at the time. I was a mere baby. And so Brian had to, like, I just picture you like laying down with your arm like over the table, like ready to press stop. Like, listen, I don't think, did Tyler even know you were there? Like, he was just like the producer.
I wish I knew. I know. And it's like, I mean, look, it's not like I was like cranking the engine back there. Like all I literally had to do was like push a button and just sit there. But it is quite the funny visual that I was just like laying in bed while you're discussing the sexual escapades of T-Boogie on MTV.
It was a good interview though. We had a good time.
Yeah.
Speaking of good times, we were catching up. Now we're up, but before. And we started talking about Survivor and you mentioned like Jacob Jones not watching this season. And you were like, oh, he's not missing much. And I was about to say, but I was like, let's save it for the podcast. Here we are on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I like every episode of Survivor. Every episode of Survivor is a good episode of Survivor for me. But then when I watched the challenge, I was like, oh, this is so much better this season than the Survivor season. Even though this episode was, had some trauma-induced moments via Turbo, I am having a great time.
The energy's high this season. I don't know if it's like the lighting or the color scheme, just feels like it's high energy. People seem like they're having fun. Even like the new people are clicking, like things are getting along. It just feels like a good vibe going on in the house right now, which I appreciate. Because yeah, I don't think there wasn't like a lot happened, like, but it was still a good time watching. It was a good viewing experience, which I think I'm just getting more of appreciation out of the challenge. I feel like for a stretch there, at least for me, I was trying to dive too much into it and I kind of just lost my enjoyment. And then I'm just kind of stepping back and just re-enjoying the show. It's not as good as it used to be, but that's fine. It is what it is now. And I'm just enjoying it. I'm enjoying the challenge.
There's too much to touch in that. Had we done a single preview that I had been available for, it would have been an interesting conversation. I can judge it by like, how excited am I after the episode to come talk to you about it? And Challenge USA, maybe a third of the way through, I was like, fuck. And I try not to curse anymore in the podcast, but that's where I was at. Tonight, I was like, ooh, I'm like ready to go. I've got the questions ready. I poured a little glass of wine. I'm like, this is my evening activity. I'm excited to kiki about the episode.
Yeah, I think we got a great result with the elimination this week. I think otherwise we would have been repeating this for the next few weeks until we got this result. So I think now we're kind of cleansed of the turbo of it all. And we can kind of take a step forward into the game. Jordan's in, interesting dynamic there. I think we're set up for more fun weeks coming up. We don't have a turbo baggage bringing us down.
Turbo baggage. Yeah, that's been checked. Here's a question that I don't know that we have talked about enough yet. Johnny's back. We obviously saw that last season. I was mad about the captain save a show thing. But let's really talk about this. Is this, we've been podcasting through his retirement. Now we're podcasting through his return. Is this the right time for him to be back? Is it too soon? What are we feeling about this?
I mean, I can't even call it a retirement because it was never like even like that believable to even begin with how many, like, unless he was popping up on All Stars and then I could believe he wouldn't come back here. But until you're gone for like a few years, like you're still in the mix anytime to come out. So He can say all he wants. I think he's back because CP's winning so much, and I think he wants to like reclaim his status. I think that's why he's back. He can say what he wants about doing it with Nani, but like I don't even know how believable that is. I just think he's getting threatened by CP and he wants to try to win more. And I'm fine with that. Like, just come back. There's no reason to retire. I've never seen anyone retires from these shows because it's not like you're putting in paperwork and you can't come back. Just come back in 2 years. Who cares? No one will think anything of it.
I want to be clear for my own sake. This is not like a gotcha. So he did say he was retiring. Though he didn't. Yeah, he did. We've had people be like, "I'm stepping away for a little bit."
I think like, he had a whole like Instagram post while say his farewell to the challenge. He's like, "You know, I had a great run. I'm going out on top. I'm, you know, you'll never see me again." Here we are, you know, 18 months later.
See me again. Okay. Well, look, as somebody who is being pressured to come out of my own retirement, right now, you know, whatever. My thought, I was having a conversation with my brother about it. And that's vague. Doesn't matter. And my brother was like, "Well, I haven't seen him since I've been watching." And I was like, he was on the show 2 minutes ago. So this made me actually do my job and research. And he was last on in 2020. So like, it's been a second. I think he benefits from all of the iterations. Like, we've had multiple seasons and All-Stars and USA. It's not like he's missed two seasons and now he's back. So it does kind of feel like he's been gone an artificially long time.
Right. Yeah, it's two challenge proper seasons, but there were at least two All-Stars and the USA, maybe even the third All-Star season in between that. So a good 5 to 6 seasons of challenge have taken place without him, but only two of which he would have probably been on.
And look, if I leave a job to try to make it in bigger and better pastures, and I don't, I reserve the right to come back. So welcome back, Johnny, to your greatest and most successful show. And sorry about the others. That was a little mean. Edit that out. All right, now we're even from the Save a Show that now we're even and it's okay. And it is quite sweet that he's back and giving all of the energy and attention to Nani. I didn't realize her mom had passed away. That's
No, I didn't know that either.
Like an emotional moment we get. I wasn't going to bring it up, but Josh Green brought it up. Glad to see Johnny showing a little bit more empathy and understanding for Nani than he has in the past when other people have lost their parents.
Right. And that kind of like it sort of was talked about. Like, they didn't like talk about why Devin and Bananas had beef, but it would have almost been interesting if they came up because of how he's acting so well with Nani. It would have been like, you know, like Devin, like I don't know how you could phrase it, but like apologize for that moment and then go kind of like talk about his maturity, but they kind of just glossed over, like, oh yeah, they had beef in the past and kind of didn't discuss what it was. So I mean, kind of like almost seamlessly transitioned. If they wanted to discuss and show it, they could have done so.
For any new viewers, this was the biggest fight that ever occurred on podcast between me and Brian, the debate between who is right and who is wrong between basically two people who are wrong. Johnny and Devin were fighting and Bananas went low and said, like, "I hope the apple fell far from the tree," referring to Devin's dead father. It is interesting. If Bananas ever apologizes to Devin, will you apologize to me? Will you admit that I was correct?
I don't even remember how I know I was saying like I you know what, sure, yes, yeah. Because I don't even remember what stance I had, but I don't want to like even come close to rehashing it. So yes, I will apologize.
Yeah, no, I mean, okay, so let's talk about that because the challenge, you know, social media has been popping off, and one thing they really hammered in this week was like the rivalry between Devin's and Bananas. Devin and Bananas.
Mm-hmm. Rick Devin coming at you.
Where does this stack up? Do you feel like this stands up to the rivalries, the great rivalries of the past? Or is this, you know, shoehorning in some interest because not a lot of bets are on the season?
I mean, look, it's definitely not to the level of like some of the rivalries they could have brought on, like through the All-Stars or that they talked about through the documentary. But in terms of like the new school, like just looking, you know, 5 seasons, 6 seasons back, it would be totally fair to put it up there. I mean, like, you're not going to compare it to, like, Bananas and Wes, but, like, of the new school people, Bananas and Devin's went head-to-head on a bunch of seasons. I think Devin knocked Bananas out at least once, maybe even twice from elimination, and they definitely were on opposite sides of many different alliances through seasons. So it's not, like, a totally fabricated thing. This is not, you know, Bananas and Frank getting into a beef on Twitter. Like, they've had actual issues on the show, so it's totally fair to like bring this up as a storyline. This isn't fully concocted by the show at all.
I totally agree with you. I think my mental bias is like people who are physical rivals. So like Wes Bananas, Kenny West, Banana CT, like people who could like you'd want to see go down and really like go head to head physically, and you wouldn't know who would win. But that's not all there is. And Devin A has improved his athletic performance hugely. And then didn't know what word is immensely is what I was looking for. And he's definitely a huge strategic rival and mental rival for Banana. So I just never think of them. Despite again it being the most memorable argument you and I have ever had on the show that I remember. I'm like, oh right, they didn't get along. I laugh about it.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I think Bananas kind of said it himself. He wasn't sure where he was going to stand with Devin coming in. I think it's not even that Devin wants to work with Johnny, but I think he looks at the breakdown of the house and he can view him as a great ally. Clearly, you know, if you're working with Johnny, he wins a lot. So if you're on his side, you can get pretty far, as evident from week one. He steps right in, wins the first daily, and Tori and Devin are protected. So it's definitely not the worst idea to be on his side, especially in the first half of the game.
And look, if you think Bananas, if you think there's a chance that you're going to go to the final with your pairs, I don't even think it's that insane to go to the end with Nani and Bananas. Right. I don't think it's a layup for Tori and Devin, but I don't think it's a layup for Bananas and Nani. So it's not like everyone going to the end with CT and an eliminate in an individual challenge.
Yeah, look, I think if without knowing how it plays out, if Tori and Devin are asked, like, you can go to the final, but you have to run it against Bananas and Nani, or you can risk playing it out and see if you can get there without them. They would 100% just sign, make the final, and take their chances with Bananas and Nani, and think that they could beat them, and they could. Like, I wouldn't rule it out at all, depending on the structure of the final. So I think this is a very well worth it workmanship pair for this foursome.
Even though we're saying now that Bananas and Nani aren't unbeatable, should we be preparing ourselves, Brian, for a Nani win this season? Is that what is being set up?
I don't think so, because I mean, they've set this up before, right? I mean, literally anytime Nani starts a season, they start with her being like, this season's different, I'm looking at it differently, I'm going with a different mindset. I know there's obviously now different, you know, she's older, obviously she has these extenuating circumstances, maybe even more so doing it in memory of her mom. But I mean, we've heard this storyline from Nani, I don't know, every season basically, since like her first couple, of her coming in with a different mindset. And she's been with Johnny before. It's not even like this is the best partner she's had. She was with him during an exit season. So, look, they're going to beat this drum over the head of, like, Bananas doing it for Nani all season. So if it happens, then they're going to play it out. But if they lose in the final or lose before the final or even midseason, they're going to, like, drum this home, like, Bananas doing it for Nani. Nani's trying. It's time for her to get her win, all that stuff. So I don't think you could read too much into it, because they're going to, no matter what would have happened, they're going to talk about this as a storyline.
And so are we. Like, I'll ask you every week. Not really, but oh god, that my note, I have a typo. Anyway, that's between me and
your notes. Oh no.
All right, so Bananas gets brought up to speed about Turbo. Let's just talk about Turbo through this whole episode. Basically, there's really only one note for Turbo.
Yeah, Turbo, I mean, he did it off last week being like he's not afraid of elimination. He wants to take people out. That's kind of what is brought up to Bananas and Nani. And we do get the nice callback of Nani and Turbo from Turbo's first season on, who's the first War of the Worlds, I believe they said, right? It was the first one where they were paired together and they worked very well. Turbo went on to win that season on his own. Nani did not, but they worked together very well. And Turbo was a much more calm, level-headed person. Nani really reeled him in throughout the whole season. And now without the reins of Nani, Turbo's kind of gone off the deep end on some of these seasons. So I think Nani was hoping to try to reel him back in under her wing a little bit, but I think Turbo's kind of like too far gone, and the fact that she was tied to Johnny, I don't think Turbo was ever going to hear the end of it.
Here's the thing about Turbo is, like, I think some of the, like, sense of humor stuff can be chalked up to cultural differences. Like, he's living in Turkey, right? Or has he moved to the U.S.?
That I don't know.
I shouldn't take swings. I'm not aware. But it feels like certain things are language barriers or, like, American idioms. I don't know, like,
totally. I would think so.
And I also was sympathetic to Turbo's reaction to Nani coming to him and saying, is what I heard correct? Because honestly, I think if Bananas went up to Nani on a different season and said, hey, I'm hearing rumors you wanted to throw yourself in, she would probably jump to, are you really considering throwing me in? Now, would she act like Turbo? Absolutely not. And so there's a limit to my understanding. But I can understand someone being defensive about their friend who's in power, just sniffing around to be like, did you want to go in? Because obviously she had an agenda in doing that. And then he played right into that hand. He's definitely scary and overreacts, but I was slightly sympathetic to him this episode.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I can't give him the benefit of the doubt when he seemingly reacts like this about anything. Like, there's nothing that is like he would react differently. Like, he reacted with Devin with the joke at the end of last week. He reacted with the champagne with Laurel like minute zero. So I would give him the benefit of the doubt on like cultural things or, you know, Nani coming in not in the right tone or the right mindset, but he does it on anything. So I can't like pick and choose, oh, well, this is, he actually reacted well here, but maybe misunderstood the context here when this is just him. Like, he's been doing this now for three seasons that he's been on. So he's almost going to react to anything if you come at him. Like, ever since like the ninja stuff when he was like spurred by her, like, I feel like that like flipped the switch for Turbo on like anything he's ever been part of for the challenge. And now he just like is scorned and it's like treats anything like it's an attack on his like soul.
No, agreed. And I'm and like definitely not excusing everything. And, you know, to jump to the end of this, like, I never want to see Turbo on the show again, because I just think it's joyless. It's too much of a struggle. It's too much of a risk. It's quite scary to the fact where to the point where the whole house has to band together to try to get him out. You know, that's literally not just happening because he's a physical threat. But again,
yeah, like, there's no upside. There's no upside for Turbo on a season, like none.
And again, one more defensible thing is, like, he really does suffer from some serious, like, deep-rooted toxic masculinity. Like, Nani explains this pretty well, and you can see it. It's like, he doesn't like to look weak, so he won't strategize. And that is, like, beyond the scope of this game. Like, I feel bad for Turbo in his life that this is his lived experience. But, you know, as TJ would say, hope to see you never.
Yeah, like, he can't say, like, oh, yeah, don't vote me in, or don't put me in, or don't do whatever, because, yeah, he feels like he can't walk away from a challenge. Like, that's, like, his mindset of not playing a game is, like, oh, I can't back away from something. Yeah, like you said, that goes against his core. So, I mean, you just, like, that's not going to play here.
Yeah, I can't, could never be me. Can't relate at that level.
It was funny to have people come in and then have people catch up. Like, that's like, you don't ever see that really on like a reality competition show where it's like, oh, can you like tell me the rules? Like, what happened week one? Like all this stuff. It's like survivors like catching up after like a merge of like what happened like the last tribal council. It was a very weird vibe. You don't really see that too often on like a competition show like this. Like, oh, catch me up on like what the rules are. Like, how do you vote people in for this season? It's kind of odd.
I agree. I really liked that. I had the same thought. And I was like, I wish we saw even more of it. One thing that is unimportant to flag, but I am flagging it, and I had in my head like, don't flag it, but I have to. It gave me chills when Laurel is catching Johnny up on what's been going on with Turbo. He like reaches over and like pulls a hair off of her face, and in that one moment I understood Banana's charm. Like, I understood how he talks to people, the way he's like looking at her and he's like leaning back so he's like a little bit beneath her, and he just reaches over and does that. I was like, I've watched people hook up on the show with less charisma and chemistry between them than I saw Bananas exude. And I was like, damn, that's why he's dangerous. Watch out.
The smitten. Allie and Johnny, smitten. Oh boy.
I'm not smitten. I can now, for the first time, understand why people are out here ruining their lives. Johnny, it remains to be seen.
The duo that I loved was Nani and Laurel. Because I feel like Laurel, you can even see here with like her affection now to Horacio, where she always will gravitate towards like the strongest in the house, the most physical. And I feel like Nani and Laurel haven't really seen eye to eye a lot of the times. I think they're obviously just very different personalities on these shows. And to see Laurel talk about Nani with like such admiration and being like, yeah, Nani, you stand up for yourself. I don't want to see Turbo talk to you like that. Like, I can feel 90s pain of being like talked over, like good for her. Like I love their dynamic and I would love to see them working together because I just don't think we've seen that like ever between the two of them.
It really is wild. Like, is there any better physical accolade that you can have than Laurel's approval? Like Olympic gold, nah. Like even a you killed it. Like you have made it athletically if Laurel even says a decent word about you.
Yeah. Cause she will pull, she will not like, you know, treat you like she will not pull punches, whatever the phrase is. Like if you suck, Laurel will tell you you suck and will like make a point of like making sure, you know, she's not stuck with you or wants to get you out. So to see Laurel talk about Nia like that, and then again to talk about Horacio like that, was quite funny. Cause then also like obviously Jordan comes in at the end of the season, end of the episode, and obviously the focus will be on Jordan and Tori's broken engagement, but there is like the subtle part of also Jordan and Laurel. I don't know if they've been on a season together since I would imagine they must have had a season since their
breakup. I feel like I've seen them interact, but I don't.
But I would be curious if that even comes up at all. Like if there's any like animosity between them or if he's like welcome into like the vet group to work with all of them, with two exes in the mix. Like, I don't know how that's going to play out. I mean, that's probably the most fascinating thing jumping ahead all the way to episode 3, like where that kind of fits in.
I also wonder how much Nani's open, and I say open relationship, I mean being open about her relationship with Casey, has impacted Laurel's relationship with Nani, because Laurel is also someone we've seen sort of grapple with their sexuality on television through the show, and you know, now they have that bond. I, you know, it might have zero effect, but it seems like, you know, something they could share.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a good point.
Speaking of being open, this is, I feel like, the most I've heard Tori talk about her relationship with Jordan. Granted, I don't listen to her other, like, maybe she has talked about it on Instagram or on the podcast, but I thought this was fascinating, extremely relatable, very touching. I didn't really know the details. Like, for some reason, I didn't think the story was, like, Jordan snap broke up with her, like, especially with what we heard about while she was on the show and like the festive stuff and whatever. And it was also really sweet to see Devin, you know, a lot can be said about some of these pairs being just like randomly assigned, but we have seen like a really amazing growth arc in Tori and Devin's real friendship. And I thought Devin really showed up for her here. And I enjoyed the segment immensely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we talked about it all last season when Tori, like, it never was talked about. Like, Tori wasn't really asked about her. Like, she never discussed the breakup last season. I think it must have been like a lot by her choice, because she obviously was in like a dark place, even maybe at the time she didn't really realize she was. So to see her kind of come out of that, and with the help of Devin, well, yeah, their dynamic, the two of them, is probably one of the more fascinating pairs in the challenge going right now. Probably one of my favorites because of how kind of tumultuous their relationship has been. It's kind of not to the same degree, but it's a little bit like Laurel and Kara, how they used to be, where they were hated each other, then friends, and hated each other, and friends, and now for Tori and Devin to be in such a good place working together is a fascinating dynamic. And it's been quite the journey for them, because I mean they've been on 4, 5, 6 seasons together, so to see this long journey is been quite fun.
No, totally agree. I feel like it's Tori's season, even though that is telling me it's not is, but we'll see. We get to the challenge. What happened to Emmy?
Well, here's a question. Why? I mean, they do some the power of editing. They do wonders. What was the point of even showing them in the house? They were added late. Just don't even act like they weren't there. Like, they didn't contribute at all to the first week. They didn't win. They weren't nominated. They weren't in the group pairings. They didn't do anything. Just act like Nam wasn't on the season. Like, if they was going to be gone episode 2, what's even the point?
I feel like we're all trying to make Nam happen. Like, how many times is Nam going to get screwed and go out early? Like, we all want that. I feel like Tyra, we were rooting for you. We're all rooting for you. They bring him back inexplicably season after season. I'm on the record of his first season saying I wanted him back. Like, I am down for him to get a chance every time they're willing to give it. Like, he just cannot catch a break.
It's wild. It's like some Final Destination thing. Like, maybe he's just not supposed to be here. Like, there's like some power telling him, nah, stay away from the challenge. How many partners you have to like quit or get hurt or like whatever, just don't come back. Something is like, don't come back now. Like the challenge is like not like for you.
Somebody please at me and tell me what happened with her, because we have seen people get eliminated for sexual harassment and go out with in less disgraced positions, and like racism, and go out with less disgrace from the production. Like I struggle to think of somebody who went out in a more humiliating way. They don't show 1 second of her. They don't show the deliberation. We've certainly had people quit before. We don't see 1 ounce of it. And all we get of her is TJ saying she couldn't hack it, and Nam in a confessional saying like, I don't respect you as a person and I wish you ill. Like, it was so brutal.
It was the only clip they showed was like, it seemed like she like didn't want to get dirty. Like that was like the vibe. They were like, oh, she got mud on her and she can't hack it, so she quit. Very, very odd. And again, like, I don't know why they're even showing it. Like, just cut her out. I feel like they cut people out before. I don't know. Just like, don't even show it. It's so bizarre.
I feel like they want Nam. Like, they're trying for Nam.
I guess so, yeah.
And he's just getting like screwed. But again, please, I need to know the story.
Just have him be like a co-host. Just have him come out with TJ and just let him hang with TJ, and they'll make comments with each other. I don't know.
I don't know. They want him not have Nam hosting the show. We cannot go from barely appearing to host. That's crazy. He can come on this show and sit and be like, hey, when we come,
sure.
He can't host.
He'll press record. He can press record for the next D-Boogie interview.
I mean, it would just, and then they include him in the confessional saying, I hope to get another chance. Like, I don't even think this is the last time we're going to see Nam, which is insane.
Why not? Season 39.
It should absolutely be.
Here we go. Incredible.
Insane. But all right. So I thought we were going to get new people right away. We don't. We go to the challenge. Before we talk about the challenge itself, Alex says, I love that this format is similar to some older seasons, but am I the only one who misses when the pairs had color uniforms? I miss when I was rooting for the maroon team.
I do miss the colored uniforms. And I also miss, because this is a season where they absolutely could do it. And maybe they did, and they just didn't show it, and then they showed it out of order. Why can't the winning team pick the order? Like, this is a first season in a while where we're going to have a clear winner each week, and they're not going to reshuffle things. Bring back the order picking. That's always been a big thing in the challenge, and it always, like, not always, but a lot of the times it creates interesting drama in the house and politicking and stuff like that. So I don't know why we can't bring that back for this season.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. I'm willing to bet that Johnny and Raven didn't put Horacio and Olivia up first. Now, sometimes we see it out of order. So maybe they did pick the order, and then they showed us the, like, maybe they were actually, given all the drops and the DQs, maybe that did happen and they just didn't want to show us the true order.
Yeah, that was my question, because of how the level of reaction that came out with how Horacio and Olivia did. If they went first, I don't think we get that reaction, right? Like, they did well, but like other people did it. But if they went after like the first 4 or 5 people failed, then that reaction makes more sense. The people were like oohing and aahing of how well they did. When, I mean, they did well, but like, I don't know, the four other teams, or three other teams did it. So I feel like they went later on after other teams failed.
Yeah, no, this is exactly right. Because at first I was thinking it was because they just have no faith in rookies or Olivia and they were just excited. But I think you're 100% right. It's also like the odds that many people fail in a row and then the last two teams to go are able to do it, like, come on. So I'm willing to say they had them pick the order and then they just showed us out of turn.
Yeah, I would think so. But what did you think of balancing act, where each partner had to jump in the water, swim, climb up a rope, and then kind of rope swing over to a platform to balance it out?
Dare I say I liked it?
I did like it. I thought the end of it was like a little anti, like all of a sudden just you have to get it for like a half, like the second it's balanced. I feel like there should have been like a 3 second clock, right? Where you get it balanced, we have to like maintain it for like more than just a beat. I would have liked to see that, but it was fine. It was, each round was pretty quick. Got to see different skill sets out of people. Funny confessionals, I actually thought, along the way too, which I think added to it, a good montage with a good song choice playing at it. So I think it was a entertaining challenge.
Yeah, I didn't think I would like it when I saw the setup, but they treated it perfectly. I loved the Fallout Boy montage. Patrick M shouted that out. I think exactly the right, like the minimum, not exactly right, but the minimum number of people were able to complete it. Like if only, if they challenged USAID it, AKA only one team finished, then I think I would have been like, this was not enough payoff for what it was, too difficult of a challenge. But it hit all the right notes. One complaint, stop asking Nelson. You're ruining it.
Yeah. No, this is like the parents doing like the floss dance on TikTok or something like that. It's ruining it. Don't do it. Not every time.
Please tweet, Brian. Use your powers for good. Please tell the people to stop mentioning it.
Yeah. Look, when he flames out horribly, like by forgetting his age, sure, you could bring it up, but don't, you can't bring it up every time. Unless you're going to, if you're going to include the number, like you said, like do the little counter in the bottom right corner, that's fine. But don't, like, the product, at a certain point, I'd be like, Nelson's just pissed at production. Like, stop asking me. You ask me every week. Leave me alone.
Yeah, it's got to go. I'm willing to say they've ruined it in just the one time they brought it up. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But one TJ, this also goes to the theory that Olivia and Horacio were not the first team, because TJ was popping off. TJ was out here, and this would have been my rule from last season, like TJ getting into it, and appropriately, Kyle Picard asked if we were into TJ's commentary on people's performances during the daily.
Yeah, he was having a blast. The way even like Nelson stumbled, but we kind of recovered. He was laughing out. A couple of people had really hard falls. He was very much enjoying. And yeah, he gave Horacio like the biggest praise like ever. That was like kind of Challenge USA throwback praise, the level he was giving. But yeah, he was all over the challenge. He was having a great time.
Yeah, speaking of Nelson, Nelson ended up having the most impressive challenge performance, I think, of the day by his own stupidity, right? Like, he put himself in an insane situation, but to spin like that, slip and recover, I was extremely impressed.
Yeah, that was very funny. And then I think it was also very funny. Olivia was having had a confessional about like being scared of love or something like that. And then they like brought, like, supercut Nelson into the confessional with her. That was very funny. That got me.
I did like that too. We're all having a good time. We're all enjoying ourselves.
Yeah, good vibes. And then, I mean, Capper was Casey's back.
We speculated that this would happen last week because she was in the, you know, coming attractions. What do you think about them being back?
So do you think they would have been allowed to return if Nam and Emmy didn't quit? Like, do you think there was like, okay, well, we lost them, so we can bring them back? But they must have, I mean, they obviously didn't like send them out. Maybe like it was a COVID thing, right? So maybe it was like a false positive or something like that, and like they were able to go back. They got a bye, but I can't complain about that, because I mean, Bananas Nani got a bye, Jordan and, you know, Darrell are about to get byes too with their partners, so I can't be mad about that. I'm okay with it, because this season should have Casey there with Nani. So because of who they're bringing back, I'm okay with who they're bringing back.
So it's not something we haven't seen before. I mean, we've seen people straight up eliminated come back, you know, the next week to fill in a spot, which I don't have a problem with necessarily. Not in a long time. I don't think we've seen that, but we have seen it. I think I would have a bigger problem with it if, as you're saying, Nam and Emmy weren't just eliminated, because it seems to make sense. And again, it's the perfect season because they already have all these people planned to be like arriving late, which is crazy. So for this season, I'm fine with it. I reserve the right to complain about similar things in the future. I mean, now the quarantine period is down to like 5 days. So there's even a world that it was a true test and they were like not exhibiting symptoms, and it's 5 days later from what we're told. I mean, it seems like a short amount of time, but. Or you know, after, two negative tests and you're fine. Like, it could have been real. Yeah.
And look, they just missed one. Did they do that? They were cut before the daily last week, or was it right in between?
Before the daily.
It was right before. Okay. I was going to say.
That's why she's like, this is our first challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. Very funny to hear that Casey's brother is the quiet introvert of the family. as opposed to Casey.
Ooh, we're ruthless tonight.
I mean, Casey, I don't think if anyone described Casey on reality TV, she's not like the most extroverted, talkative, crazy party person. So to hear the fact that she is that compared to her brother is, you know, an interesting peek into their family dynamic.
Well, I was thinking of this the other day when Stephen Fishbeck was on Know It Alls talking about how Gavin is like low-key, very funny. And it's like, Kevin from Survivor. It's like, to be on reality television at all takes a certain type of personality. And she is just like the most introverted of the insane people who have applied to be on these shows and gotten.
Sure.
That. But yes, I agree. It was pretty funny. And it was a savage burn. I loved it. From you.
Yeah. Never know when you get sideswiped.
But all right, no surprise. I mean, well, no surprise for a couple of things. No surprise that Nani and Bananas win. And also no surprise that it takes Bananas 3.2 seconds to determine the optimal strategy to play the new format.
Yeah, he smashes it. I mean, it's just crazy. The guy walks in, you know, I know it's he's just so good at so many things. Like, you just have that veteran, like, you just know how to do these daily things. You know how to just jump right into the rules. And it's not surprising to see him win the first daily. I mean, the guy is probably one of the most dailies I would guess ever. So just very impressive.
What do you think of the strategy of taking? I mean, coincident. No. It's a big coincidence that, no. How convenient.
There we go.
How convenient for Bananas that the rival rookies are sort of pairing up in a group of three, and he needs three pawns to drop into the elimination.
There's probably four, right? I mean, Nani also mentioned they could have done Kim and Colleen. So there was even more options that they
but
really
they're not
to
as connected
it.
In terms of like, I want to make these three people like do the coconut chop challenge, like tell people like right. Where they stand.
Yeah, I don't know if it worked out, but are we tinfoil adding this?
I'm just saying it was convenient, like that,
yeah, it worked
out
very well
for him.
Yeah, I mean, look, this format's gonna work out. There's gonna be a lot of easy strategic decisions like the first like 3 to 4 weeks, because there's just so many teams that it's easy to kind of like get like a good core group to get in there between the four of them. It's more once this is not rocket science, but once you start whittling it down, it's going to get a little more tricky of who you protect and who you save, because you have to risk four people.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a huge amount of people. I feel like in the past we've seen people, yeah, like Jay has been the victim of like, it's Jay every time. Like, it's a lot easier when it's one person. It's crazy that they have to put four people on the chopping block. I mean, I think here it ends up working out that none of these people are going to have a bigger target on Johnny and Nani that they otherwise would have. And the whole house ends up helping Olivia and Horacio, such that they might have even earned good graces with like been in their good graces because they helped them, even though they put them in.
Yeah, I think Olivia and Horacio are their standing is better off for being in this elimination, winning, and having the house rally behind them. And I think Horacio is kind of set up now to do paired well with Laurel. I think like the going forward, I think they're going to be much higher up on the pecking or lower on, like, they're going to be much less at risk amongst the veterans, because I think they're going to slide into that group much more. So I think they'll be a little more insulated as we go along. I think they just had to like get through this first one where Bananas and Nani step in and they're totally new and there's no pairings yet. But I could see Horacio sliding in. Like, I think Devin and Tori were pretty impressed by him. I think even Bananas and Nani also. I think Nani was really impressed with Horacio. So I think he's going to really get in there. And I think Olivia as well. So I think this was like their first scare. And I think they're going to be around for a while. I think they can skate by for a little bit. And maybe even win a couple of things.
Interesting. Because I more meant, I think the vets are going to get off scot-free with them, because they end up like having a nice little bonding moment. And like the vets are definitely the reason that Olivia and Horacio won that elimination. Not saying they couldn't have won without them, but it's like everybody was like, it's nice to have friends. Like, clearly they owe it to them. I still think they're a very easy pair to throw down, but certainly seem to have better connections than the majority of the other rookies? Absolutely.
Yeah, I think, I guess the only fear is obviously we have Jordan and Anissa coming in, and then Darrell and Veronica coming in. So like there's more veteran teams coming in. So there's more of a chance that someone from the veteran side wins. But I think the veterans that are coming in, they're not all going to work together. I think once you toss even more in the mix, like that's when different clashes are gonna form, and they're not all going to work together. Like, I don't see Darrell jumping in and working with the Bananas and Devin crew. Like, I don't see that happening. So I think there's going to be different pockets of the veterans that form. And then that's where maybe Horacio and Olivia can kind of slither through a little bit. There's just going to be a lot. It's not like last season where, or even like the start of this season where there's so many rookies compared to vets. Like, we're losing some vets, but I mean, we're gaining like more, we're gaining stronger vets. So I think the veteran power is much stronger than it was before the season. And it's only going to get stronger now that Jordan and Issa are here and Darrell and Veronica are coming next. So the vets are going to be in control. And I don't think it's going to be as like just going after the rookies as like it seemed like it could have been. Just Johnny. I think Johnny and then depending on where Jay and Michelle kind of fall in.
Well, yeah, I mean, who can say? Darrell always kind of surprises me where he ends up. But I think a lot will come down to what becomes of Jordan and Tori. Because Jordan is paired with one of Tori's best friends, Anissa. I feel like Anissa's really connected to Darrell and Veronica. And mm-hmm. are Bananas and Jordan going to sort of settle the score? Like, I don't know what's going to happen in that respect, but I feel like Darrell is a big fan of the path of least resistance and going with the house versus like, I'm going to be the J and like drum up this whole rookie alliance. So we'll see. I'm very curious to see what happens next week with Jordan and Tori.
Yeah. Yeah, that's by far. I mean, the best thing that Jordan has going for him jumping into the house is going to be Anissa as his partner. Like obviously Jordan for the athleticism, but Anissa is going to set him up so much better than almost any other partner could with trying to get in with any, if he's partnered with anyone else, like there's no way Tori's working with him. There's no way like Bananas would work with him. Like the fact that he's with Anissa, that sets him up so much better to kind of slide in.
So getting back to the deliberation and the format for a second, I really, you know, I'm glad they made quick work of showing us the conversations, you know, that we saw more of the conversation between Nannies and Banana. Than we did between the interviews and the interrogations. But there are literally no stakes anymore, right? Like, what are these people even advocating for? Like when Michelle was crying, which great performance by Michelle. When Michelle is crying that she's so betrayed by Nani, what is the purpose of this? Because I think everybody's aware that Turbo is going to be going in and then they can't save anyone.
I mean, I guess it's the setup for the future weeks, right? It's the, you get out of this and you don't want this to happen again. It's like, I can't believe you did this to me. I guess I need to reestablish our friendship. Like, I'm working with you. Don't do this going forward.
That's not enough for me to justify watching four interrogations. You know, like, I'd rather watch them in the house the night out. Like, I was more interested in Nani and Michelle in the night out than, like, this false plea happening. Like, I guess it worked on the first episode because Johnny really was, like, auditioning people to go down. But as we go on and on, like, people are going to be choosing, like, Bananas. Unless mm-hmm. they're the rookies who need to, like, use it to broker deals. I almost wish, and it would be too many people, like, I almost wish it was, like, either one person goes in, one team gets saved, and the two, like, it's a dagger between the two. But I like shifting
power. Yeah, I was just thinking that. I was just thinking that, but like, I was like, well, maybe instead of like the winning team votes someone in, they choose someone to save, but then they're just going to pick their friends. So that doesn't like do anything. But yeah, there should be something else I don't know. I agree. There's like, I don't know what they're gaining out of the negotiation, or maybe like the winning team should get to pick the opponent. Like the person gets to pick who's safe. I don't know. There's something, I wish there was something else, but then you're like tossing the entire house into the draw. And then it's like, how do you even like combat all that? I don't know how you can do something else.
Here's a plea to the producers. Feel no pressure to show us. I forget, you gave us a very good suggestion on NGOG. It was like, don't feel pressured to have something to ask Akiva if it's going to like stick around or not. Like, you don't need mm-hmm. to have a deliberate, like, even if you film it, I absolve you of the pressure to show us a clip from all four teams. Conversations. If you think only one of them is relevant and we can pick up the rest on the night out, I'm fine with it. I'll assume that the material move, happened.
I think the move, and I think they've done this in the past, is they should call people in before they decide, right? Like that should be the move. It's like you call people in and then you can have the Michelle pleading to Nani, like, don't put me in the four group. And then they decide. Like they should.
And that's what this is supposed to be. Because you decide before you throw, you put four people on the table and you throw one of them in. They agree. Right. This is like, there's no stakes. There's no purpose to it.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, they should have these, like, they should call people in. Like, they should call in more than, like, they should call in, like, everyone comes in and, like, pleads with them. And then they pick four who are going to be up for the, like, I feel like it's usually pretty clear who's, like, the target almost amongst when you think of four. So I'd rather have these discussion of like, don't even put me in the four because there's so much there to chance. So I'd rather them bring people in, even if you bring everyone in and you only show a few of them and you show those conversations and then the winning team picks four and then it just goes straight to elimination. Like there's no reason to do the chats after.
I like that. What about this? I like that as number one. Number two, you want to do it the way they're doing it. Put all four teams on the board in one room with the two.
Yes.
And let them talk it out in front of everyone, especially because then a lot of the conversation became, well, convince Johnny not to pick you if he pulls the dagger. I want to see that conversation happen in front of all four teams, five teams, including the power couple.
That would be good too. That would be good too.
We're free. Call us, MTV. We're available. Well, I'm free. I don't know about Brian. But the other thing I want to go back to, since we're putting ideas out.
Mm-hmm.
Last three teams draw the dagger. Like, go back to challenge performance. Go back to the original draw. Tape. And then do your little interviews with three teams and one of them goes down.
Yeah. Look, the draw is fun. I think the draw produces the best format for seasons. I think other formats get stale and it allows for a large majority, especially the vets, to run through it. I like the variance that the draw brings. So I'm always pro draw.
I'm not anti draw. I'm just saying, let's do the way free agents was. Still the draw. Yeah, I like the draw.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to get rid of the draw. I'm happy about the draw. How many times can I say the draw? I like the draw in the zone. I like the zone. I like the draw.
It's four that are worth. They work quick.
I had to just check that. I was like, Z. but all right. One thing Nerys tweeted to get to the social media early, she was like, can they please stop like showing me liking this man? So like, spoiler alert, that ends poorly. Like every other one of Johnny's televised relationships.
Yeah, who could have seen that one coming?
But okay. I don't know. We already kind of talked about everyone. Let's talk about Jay and Michelle because they're an interesting dynamic where they are aligned in that they're friends, but they're not aligned in terms of what they think the optimal gameplay is. We see Michelle trying to rely on these veteran relationships that she's made outside of the season. We have Jay being like, I'm Lord of the Misfits. I'm Lord of the Rookies, taking more of a Wes approach. Robbie Freeman says, whose side are you taking in the Jay and Michelle debate? I'm Team Jay, if only because he knows that Banana's hatred for him is more based on all the Morgan stuff. So there's no way he'll get Banana's to protect him.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about the Morgan stuff with Jay. But also for Michelle, like, she can say she has Nani's back all she wants. Like, Nani's, like, Michelle's, like, gonna be not that high on, like, the Nani protective list. I mean, obviously, Casey is going to be number one. I mean, she has a lot more history with Laurel, and if they're working together, I think they're going to, you know, be pretty tight. And if Bananas and Devin are pretty close, I think that connection bumps them ahead of Jay and Michelle. So I just don't know what the Michelle-Nani friendship level is, like how strong it could be, because it's obviously not that strong if Nani's first instinct was to vote her in. So, you know, Johnny might not be the strongest person to have on your side, but at least he is someone on your side and has shown loyalty. So I don't know what Michelle's trying to get out of with Nani because it doesn't seem like it's very well reciprocated.
I believe that Michelle believes that she has a close relationship with Nani. I just don't know how that's possible, right? Like, does Naomi, what? Nani lives in LA now with Casey? She either lives in Miami, Chicago, or LA, right? Like, those are the places I've known Nani to be located.
Right.
I know Michelle to be located in New Jersey. So where has this friendship been? You know, like not to say you can't have friends at a distance, but I'm not really understanding. It's not like they live down the street and they've been going to, like, I don't know, yoga together. Whatever friends on TV do.
Right. And they said they did it, like, they did a season, but Michelle, like, didn't last very long. So, I mean, it's not like they, like, ran a final together or something. So
exactly.
It's like worthwhile. Yeah.
And he's like very worked up.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get where this is like coming from.
One thing I want to pay respect to on the night out is, but like, I think aside from to answer Ravi's question, aside from the Nani of it all, like, is it a better long-term survival strategy to, like, show loyalty to the Mets? Absolutely. Is it a better, I want to be asked back and, like, take a swing and try and get my face out there strategy to align with Johnny and Horacio and the newbies? Yeah, absolutely. So it's just, like, I almost think Jay needs to sort of step out of the Vets' shadow more than maybe Michelle does. And I think that's sort of why their interests are not aligned.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I don't even think it's like the worst idea to go with the rookies, because I think it just depends where some of these other Vets lie. Like, if Horacio and Laurel get really close and Laurel kind of goes towards that side, and then, like, I don't know where Nelson is lying at all this. And I mean, I guess Fessy would go towards Casey, but there's some other people in the mix and kind of pick up.
And yeah, Nelson would Reese, go with,
yeah, Reese, so they're going to go on that side. So I don't even think it's that wrong. Like, Michelle and Jay would be absolutely bottom of the barrel pecking order wise amongst the Vets. So I don't think it's like even the worst strategic move to go with like this other group where you could be higher up, clearly.
I totally, totally agree. All right. I want to say I respect that. Well, I don't know if I respect it, but from a petty move, the fact that Raven refuses to say Norris's name in confessionals absolutely cracks me up. Like, the disrespect.
Yeah, she's not jealous. She's just very upset that Johnny's head's not in the game, but definitely not jealous at all. 0% jealousy.
All right, let's get to the zone. This kind of goes off of our Michelle and Jay decision, is like, who was right? Alex says, do you think Jay and Michelle made the right call on saving Johnny and Raven in the draw? I side with Jay here. Everyone already knows he and Johnny are friends in real life. Throwing them in won't actually get them any goodwill from the veterans and will just give them an excuse to paint them as snakes. I think Michelle's overestimating her social game if Nani couldn't even bother to tell her she was going in.
Whew. Yeah, I'm totally with Jay. And I think he made a good point of like, look, everyone knows we're together. So if I don't save him, then like, where do anyone think I would save anyone if I'm not going to save my number one guy? So I think this is totally fair.
I think where Jay messes up here is saying like, I had to honor my commitment to my dear friend. Like, I think he could soften it a bit and be like, they had the opportunity to throw us in last week and they didn't. So I'm just going to immediately return the favor and we're square.
I also think they really needed to be on the same page before this was going in. Like, they knew this was obviously a good possibility of them being like the ones to pull safe. They having like that debate in front of everyone like shows like team fracture, and you don't want it. Like, they needed to be on the same page before this happened. They couldn't show the back and forth disagreement and all that.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And speaking of being on the same page, like, I think this had probably already been discussed, right? Amongst, I mean, I don't know. Horacio seemed to feel pretty confident he was going in. Now, maybe you don't want to say to him, like, we're picking each other, so you're going in regardless, and then it's 50-50. But I don't know that this was really a surprise to anyone.
No, I don't think so. But I guess if Horacio and Olivia picked it, then it would be more of a debate. But I guess probably Jay and Michelle would have gotten them.
I know this challenge was called Memory Lane, but I feel like it will be known as the Anti-Turbo Memorial Challenge.
Yeah, I was just waiting for producer to kind of come out and also start pointing to the box that they just prepared, just like at the whole crew in the mix. Because, I mean, they had literally everyone helping out this. I mean, it was unbelievable. I'm like, this is, I'm sure people are saying this is unfair. You can't have people helping. This is tales all the time with the challenge. Like, part as I think it was Chauncey that said it. Part of the challenge is like your social game. And if you're that hated that you run the risk of this type of elimination where the entire crowd can help to get you eliminated. And like, that's the risk you run for being that hated. So this is absolutely fair. This is absolutely by the book. And, you know, this is what happens.
It's so funny because it almost seems like the challenge, and I appreciate it, did try to get ahead of that criticism, because not only did Chauncey say it, but like, they did three or four times. Somebody said like, social game is valid. Like, this is part of the social game. It didn't bother me at all. And it's the outcome I wanted. Was it hard to watch? Yeah, a little bit hard to watch.
Sure, sure. But like, look, if you don't even have one person helping you, like, that's on you, right? Like, it's not like it was like 50-50 or 60-40 where each team had someone. Like, this was the entire house. Yeah, at one point, they were like, everyone just, like, be quiet and let, like, one person speak so we could, like, coordinate our efforts here. Like, it was, like, that calculated. So, like, the fact that everyone was against Turbo. And honestly, based off their confessional at the end, it seemed even, like, Tamara wanted to get the hell out of there. She was like, I don't know how close her and Turbo are, but I think she was, like, completely over it, too. So, you know, that's it. Hope to see you never.
One thing I'll say, Turbo did go out with class. I was shocked and relieved. But here's what I'm really excited to talk about, because Jordan rolls up sans Anissa, which is bizarre. But something that's been weighing on me all week is, like, one of my favorite memes was, like, when they're talking about shrimp fried rice and somebody's like, you're telling me a shrimp fried this rice? This whole week, it's like, you're telling me that Anissa, who has a professional commitment with Tori, did not fail to tell Tori, I'm showing up with your ex-fiance? Like, Brian, if you were showing up at a bar to watch Survivor with my ex-boyfriend, I would expect you to tell me. And that's not televised. You know, like, I couldn't get it out of my head all week. But Alex to the rescue wrote us a very helpful explainer on a non-spoiler breakdown of what happened with certain partners and certain replacements. Are you ready for the tea? No source from Spell Alex, it. But I buy all of this. I believe it all.
Spell it.
Anissa was actually there from the beginning with her original partner, a friend who had never been on reality TV before. Her friend tested positive and was removed from the game at the same time as Kenny and Casey, but they were edited out of episode one entirely. That's why two alternate teams came in for supposedly just Kenny and Casey leaving. They were actually replacing two teams. Jordan, and I actually am disgusted that they were going to do this, but I guess it is reality television. Jordan was supposed to be a late surprising team alongside Naya, but she had to drop for medical reasons at the last second. Anissa's original partner either didn't recover from COVID quickly enough or production just chose to remove him. But either way, Anissa and Jordan were then paired together so Jordan could be on the season still. People will be faking surprise when Anissa enters the game, but genuine with Jordan, which does track if people look genuinely surprised when they saw Jordan.
Here's my follow-up. Oh, just quick follow-up. If you can cut Anissa out of the entire first episode, just cut Nam out. They did it.
They want just Nam on the show. Cut them out.
I guess so. Jeez. Okay, what's the second half?
Anna's, as well as Veronica and Darrell, were always supposed to be late surprise teams, but production messed up and the cast learned that Bananas was coming in. So this was fake surprise for his entrance as well. I believe it all.
So fake surprise for that. Was it? Did they say it was also fake surprise when Darrell and Veronica come in too, or was that just
no? That they're surprised. So we'll see.
Okay, that's so interesting. I mean, honestly, the Jordan and Naya thing makes sense as like ride or die pairs. So,
and Anissa and Jordan make no sense as ride or die pairs.
Right. No.
So I believe this
Which then is such a crock of shit because we spent the entire episode zero of them trying to like spearhead like this Jordan and Anissa friendship from years back of like trying to make them explain why they're like these like 10-year friendship go there like ride or die with these people and like they weren't even supposed to be together. So don't lie to us.
Magic of television.
Like, it makes we're ride or dies because he was they're trying to spin the narrative. Oh, we're ride or dies because he was engaged to my best friend, but then seemingly brutally broke up with her. But we're still ride or dies. Like what?
I mean, look, maybe I'm aging out. I don't want to say this, but Nani and Jordan on the same season as Tori when she's recently on antidepressants, presumably as a result of some of the stress of their breakup. Like, I'd much rather the intrigue of Jordan with having to work with Anissa, who's friends with Tori, than like Naya and Jordan together on the season. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, at least they make sense as a pair. So there was that.
All right. Should we get to the drinking game?
Yeah, there was nothing this week. No hits. At least I didn't get anything. I don't want to like.
No two people confessionals?
I didn't get anything for Kyle Picard. So I was trying to pretend off. There was nothing.
Here's the funny thing. Last week, I teased that I had another one that would be like less hit. And there would have been a hit this week. So I'm not missing my chance. I'm putting it on. Last week, you know, we learned the great nickname of Dave and Dave. So I was going to say, like, anytime someone says a nickname. And Daddy Devin, coming from Nelson would have been a hit. So I'm adding that to the list this week.
And I will add, they did this with the Nelson heart thing. Anytime they do special effects, they blast that in to any type of confessional or the challenge or anything like that. Special effects added. Not fire. Not fire. Any other special effects.
Love it. Thank you to Paige FLA for the 5-star review. Guys, let's start off the season strong. Season strong. Help us out. Help us help you help us. Go to robpizzowebsite.com/challenge feed. Give us your reviews. We love to hear from you.
Yes. Absolutely. Subscribe, rate, 5 stars, all that shebang. Where can people follow you?
At Lash Tweets.
You can follow me at @ColinBryan_. We'll be back next week for episode 3. Until then, have a good one.